these minor prophets, and we're on our way to the 12 that are at the end of the Old Testament, not historic books, but prophecy books, like we talked about. It was these minor prophets, the same thing with the major prophets. Their passion, their desire, their calling was this, to share with mankind the mind of God. Do you want to know what your God thinks? Do you want to know what your God desires? And so, like we brought out here before, that prophets, before they were called prophets, were called seers. In other words, they would see before they'd say. And that's the same thing with us in a manner of speaking. When you got into your word this morning, and I hope and pray that you did, what did you see? What are you looking to see tomorrow morning when you have your devotions? Because whenever we see something, God desires for us to share, to say something about it. That is what these minor prophets were doing. They were just like us. Again, like we read about in James, Elias was a man, or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He was a man, like I said, he put his robe on one leg at a time, just like us. The point here is this. There was a need for that which was coming to be told before it took place. We've already taken note of this, that there were things that were prophesied not only by the major prophets, but also by the minor prophets, things that were prophesied that took place within a matter of years, or they took place, for instance, when Christ came, or they have yet to take place. But they will take place as much as we are standing here right now. That's why, you know, you look at what took place in the church. For those of us that are old enough in this, we can see that in the last several decades, especially even 50 years ago, suddenly there was much more of a desire to know what do the last days hold. There are differences of opinion. What will happen when? But if you are a Bible believer, you will agree with this. Jesus is coming. He's coming. He came as a lamb to the slaughter the first time. The next time, he's coming as a king. And we praise God for that. When it comes again to the prophets, like the Lord said through Amos, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto the servants, the prophets. One of the reasons why we need to go through all the books. Now, we're just going to be touching on each of these books. But one of the things that we need to understand is that even though with a few of them there might not be that much, God spoke. Now, are you here? Are you listening? Remember that advertisement, E.F. Hutton? When E.F. Hutton speaks, what do people do? You stop and you consider the silent years in between Malachi and Matthew. There wasn't that much that was said. When Samuel was a child and grew up under in Eli's household, there wasn't much that was said. You know, that's terrifying, because you want to hear from your God. You want to know what the mind of God is. Luke 16, again, going over with some things that we've already looked at. The law and the prophets were until John. It's over with. Why? For this reason, Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That's it. We now have the Word of God. It is complete. Amen. And now we go forth with the Word of God. But what I wanted to do before we get into the book of Hosea, wanted to share with you what I did not have time to share with you last week. The minor prophets, if you boil the fat out of it, came with several messages. And again, just bringing it briefly, this is what it was. Number one, if you look at the minor prophets, the first thing that you see, they were bringing the fact of the undeniable sovereignty of God. God is in charge. You and I cannot rewrite what sin is. You and I cannot rewrite what the future holds. God is in charge. Amen? Now, a wise believer, listen, a wise believer then is going to want to know what God says, what He thinks. Oh boy, my wife loves this when I start going back to things I've used before. I really do need to get a newer book. But again, this goes back to us being older. How many of you remember the hair tonic that a man could use, a little dab? I'm telling you, advertising works. I heard a preacher say one time, a black preacher, say, yeah, that's where some Christians are. They use their Christianity like they use that tonic. A little dab will do you. That's not right. We need to have a passion for God. And part of that comes to this realization. He is sovereign. What does sovereign mean? He's in control. He's in control. He's faithful. Amen? He's faithful. Hey, He keeps His promises, but He is sovereign, which means we need to be seeking His will. When it comes to His commands, they're not known as recommendations. They are His commands. And how do we prove to the Lord that died for us and rose again that we love Him? He said, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Now the question is, are the commandments that important to us? I hope and pray that they are. Secondly, God's inevitable judgment when it comes to sin. There is coming that great and terrible day of the Lord according to Malachi chapter 4. There's coming a time when God is going to judge sin. I've read to you before in Revelation chapter 20. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in that book. How many of you are glad that your sins are taken care of? I wouldn't want my sins read in front of you. I wouldn't want my thoughts in the last week read in front of you. There are things that come in and out of our minds we're absolutely embarrassed about. We set them aside. We want to smack them down. What in the world are you doing there? But that's the fact of the matter is, that's what takes place. But there's coming a time, there are people that you and I know, that it's all going to be there. The books will be open. God will judge sin. There's not going to be a person at the great white throne judgment that will be able to contend with God and say, I don't deserve to be here. But then also there's a third thing that we wind up seeing. And that is, and we're going to see that in the book of Hosea, God's amazing love. Go to Joel. Hosea, Joel. If you're at Hosea, turn right just a few pages and go to Joel chapter 2. Look at verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is what? Gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. God is not an ogre up in heaven that can't wait to smack you down. He doesn't see that with anybody. There are certain people that come to mind. One is George Soros. You know, when I look at what's going on and I think, Lord, can I take your spot for just 5 minutes? Can I have the power that you have? Because I would want to go in and clean house. Do any of you think of somebody like that? It's like, you know, Lord, please smite them hip and thigh, may their belly rot, their guts fall out, you know, and just, you know, all those good imprecatory prayers that you can get out of Psalms. No, it's amazing how God is slow to anger, but he will judge. It's coming. But we see this. Here he is pleading with Israel that time and again, you know, when we look in Hosea, we're going to be amazed at what God asked Hosea to do to show his love for Israel, to show how he was merciful to them. So there's God's amazing love. The fourth thing that you wind up seeing when it comes to going into the prophets, and in this case the minor prophets, is the passionate call to get right with God. How many of you have ever been backslidden? My hand is up. Okay? You know, I love it that my God called on me. I love it that there were key times when even though I was running from him, I could never get out of his presence. I could never leave him behind. Oh, I might feel, quote unquote, alone, but he was there. He was there and he was calling. And that is a joy. The last is this. You go into the prophets, and again, especially the minor prophets. And what do you have? You have prophecy about the coming Messiah as we're going to see. That King of Kings and Lord of Lords was prophesied even with them. And remember, they might be smaller. They might be more compact. But the minor prophets, when it comes to a key point, were as important as Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah. Isaiah has a tremendous amount. But I'll just show you what it is. Go to Hosea chapter 1, if you would please. Hosea chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the last days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. How in the world could this kind of thing take place? He is saying, I want you to go to someone that is in a tremendous amount of sin, and I want you to marry them. And this is for keeps. Lord, are you sure? Yes. But wait a minute, Lord, didn't you think? No. God knows what he's doing. He will take mankind. Now, don't come to me and tell me something the Lord is telling you to explicitly sin because he wants to tell America something. We have the completed word of God. Where he's not going to be calling anybody to do something silly like that or serious like that. But when it came to, again, mankind being used by God to show other mankind their sin, this is what the Lord would do. So here came this situation. He is called Hosea, his faithful servant, to marry a harlot. It was written about 715 BC. It recorded events from 753 to 715 BC. The key verse in all this is akin to what I just read here in chapter 3, verse 1. It's basically the same thing. You've got the story, you've got the message going to the northern kingdom specifically. There are pictures that you'll wind up seeing, and I encourage you to read Hosea. I should have told you to do that this last week. But there are pictures that are used in Hosea, and I'm trying to get through this real quick, so we will be done. God is depicted. You know, remember Mindy Russell when she was here, you know, even she said, you know, she cited Psalm 23, the Lord is my what? Shepherd. By the way, that's comforting because we picture a shepherd. In the book of Hosea, you see God himself as a husband, lion, leopard, bear, dew, rain, moth, and other things. Israel is seen as a wife, a sick person, a vine, grapes, early fruit, olive tree, the woman in childbirth, and on and on and on. There are other pictures, again, that the Lord used. His whole desire in this, and we're going to be going to some scripture, his whole desire in this was to get Israel to see, number one, their sin, number two, his love, number three, their need to leave their sin, number four, how God will bless them if they came to him. Go to Hosea chapter 4. Chapter 4, if you would please. There are several, and this won't take long. There are several passages that when I studied Hosea, they really spoke to me, and they might speak to you as well. This is where God really got to the heart of things when it came to his desire in getting Israel to listen. Look at verse 6, Hosea 4. My people are destroyed, literally cut off from me. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. This was not something that he was saying that was going to happen forever. That's it. I'm through with you. We know that didn't take place. God was giving Israel the opportunity to reap what it had sowed. God was giving Israel the opportunity to realize just what would happen to them if they did not repent. But the phrase that got me was the very first phrase. My people are destroyed, literally cut off, for lack of knowledge. You know, it makes you think. When it comes to getting into the Word of God, now listen, when it comes to getting into the Word of God, what is it that makes you desire to do just that? Have I fulfilled an obligation, or have I gained something that I need to know about my God? There are two things that we are told when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit, and don't, what's the other? Quench the Spirit. Question, what grieves the Spirit and what quenches the Spirit? I don't know about you, but I desire, I got to have the Spirit. Amen? I mean, we all do. Every one of us. So here's the question. When we're going through the scripture, are we observing and discerning just what that does? My people are cut off from me. They don't understand me. They don't know me. they have separated from me through lack of knowledge, a genuine understanding of how I operate. Here's another one. Go two chapters, Hosea chapter 6. You know, we've been praying for revival. You know, Lord, whatever it takes. Lord, I want to see people stirred. Can you imagine somebody standing up and saying, you know what? Verse 1, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. Has America been torn? Stop and consider. We're not the nation that we once were. California is not the state that it once was. And you know something? Churches are not what they used to be. Churches. So what do? People start sitting up and said, you know what? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of what my sin has cost me. Let's go to prayer meeting and make it a real prayer meeting. Let's get together. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's seek after God. What do you think, Ed? How about that, Larry? What do you think, Roger? Mike? Peter? Yeah. All of us. John? Mike? Alfred? You know, who was it that we were talking with? Somebody just died. So earlier today, I get this mixed up. I'm not thinking about anybody that we've heard about tonight. But it's so sad. A life, and by the way, we only have one, that just simply got wasted. There was an existence and that was it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live like that. I would like to see my life count something, not for my glory, but for His, count for eternity. Amen? Amen. Hey, you know something? Let us return unto the Lord. Let us return unto the Lord. Two chapters later, go to Hosea chapter 8. Just the first part of verse 7. Again, these are verses that spoke to me. Chapter 8, verse 7. For they, looking at Israel, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. You know, sometimes we wind up taking a light attitude about sin. We take it regarding ourselves. We take it regarding, other people's sin. You know, California, you know, it had the strange people, you know, here and there, but well, that's just California. And now all of a sudden, some of the biggest God haters that are in this nation are in charge in that building over there. And they are embracing and pressing into the government schools every bit of perversion they can. We have sown to the wind and we are reaping the whirlwind. Why do you think we need revival? But there is, sadly, and it's in me too, there is a subtle trigger point that says, nothing can be done, move along, God will take care of it. Well, praise God, He will take care of it. But meanwhile, there is prayer and passion that needs to take place. Amen? I mean, again, I got to keep going. Look at chapter 10, and this is our last stop. And two verses, just so much. Again, this is to me how the Lord spoke through Hosea. And just, you know, the passion, the response and such. the message that this man had. By the way, I'm not going into it because I didn't want to take the time for it, because I wanted to hear what the Kellys went through. So I'm giving you less in this book, but you read it. Hosea's wife, Gomer, cheated on him time and again. And he waited on her. He loved her. She conceived, she bore children to him, but she still went out. And the very same way that Hosea was faithful to her and desired her back, God was the same with Israel, even when they were not listening. And by the way, we've done the very same thing. Look, chapter 10, last two verses, verse 12 and 13. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Let's read just the next two. Therefore shall a tumult arise among the people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiled Betharbel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In the morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to sow to ourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, and break up the fallow ground. That's what revival is. You know what fallow ground is. You sow seed on it, it won't grow. It's got to be broken up. It's got to be plowed. I have this thing about seeing ground that has really been broken up. When we go home, sometimes from that area, we'll come up Don Julio, and they're getting ready to pour concrete and stuff. They're going to be building homes there. But before they did all that, they brought in the earth movers, they brought in the blades and all this, and they're moving that earth around. And I keep telling my wife, she's probably bored about it, I love to see that. I love to see ground freshly broken up, just dug up, it just looks beautiful. Looks great. You want to just get in and jump in it, I loved it when I was doing construction, and it was just neat. You just kind of mold it, make it, you're getting ready to pour concrete on it. This is what God wants to see in us. Break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground. God has seed that he wants to sow. If it doesn't take place, if it doesn't happen, if you keep plowing wickedness, you're going to keep reaping iniquity. And I don't think we want to see that anymore. Amen? That's all I'm going to tell you with the book of Hosea. We will continue, Lord willing, next week. Let's stand for prayer. By the way, can I encourage you to do this in your Bible reading this next week? Add the book of Joel. Read the book of Joel. Okay? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. We see time and again how you sought to show your love to your people. And you used Hosea. You used his family situation. Lord, you showed us your love by dying on the cross for us. Help us not to forget that act. We rejoice in the risen Savior. Lord, help us to now break up our fallow ground, that there can be sowing from your word that brings forth fruit for your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.